I wanted to be Little Spoon. He wanted to be Little Spoon. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the fork. It just didn't work out.
Have you guys tried the spork? The best of both worlds.
The spork solves everything.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
Did you guys get your handful of nuts?
It's sexy time. Bring it in.
All right, in this episode, last of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And we're still joined with Jason and his good friend, Kiati Pluksawazdi.
Yes,
how
sir.
Close was it? Good?
Oh, you were right on.
All right. I mean, the spelling of this looks like a minefield.
It's phonetic.
And I like it. Yeah. And you were saying it's Thai.
It's Thai, yes.
All right, so were you born in Thailand?
No, I was born in New York.
Parents Thai?
Born in Thailand.
So you grew up kind of speaking both languages?
Yeah.
It's English. Awesome. Do you get to go back a lot?
The last time we went back was probably about maybe 7 years ago. And then we took the kids. It was a good time.
Thailand is my number one country that I haven't been to. That's
really?
Top of my list. Yeah.
So highly recommend going, hitting the beaches, going south. You know, so we landed in Bangkok, stayed there for about 2 days. There's a place called Pinkies. You can get a really...
Pinkies or Pankies?
Pinkies.
Pinkies.
I'm trying to see where this is going. There's a place called Pinkies. Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
You can get hand-cut suits.
Okay.
Really inexpensive.
Oh.
Tailored.
All right.
And I know where Jason's mind was going with this, which is why I kind of did the list.
Well, I heard hand, and then I just kind of... Anyway. So,
it was a Pankies.
Hand Pankies. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
So, what type...
He's also a very good chef. I'll just mention that.
What type of work do you do? How do you refer to yourself as an artist?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I am...
Who aren't you?
I am not a singer. That is
not true.
Okay, I'm not a good
singer.
He has
the voice of an angel.
What's the best thing you sing?
Nothing.
Here we go. Okay, no. And...
We're not doing
it. It's already started.
Cue up some music. Do you have anything? Elvis.
Yeah,
there we go.
I got it.
All right, sorry. I'm go for it.
No, you're good. You're good. I am a boudoir photographer. I also do dance photography and portrait photography.
If you had to choose one, what would it be?
Boudoir.
Boudoir.
That's my main.
All right, let's start there. How'd you get into it?
Interesting. I was shooting weddings I started out shooting weddings and families, and one of the wedding photographers that I would shoot with, she was doing this boudoir workshop. And it was up in Pennsylvania. I live in Maryland. And she just needed somebody to kind of go with, you know. So she was like, hey, you know, I kind of want to do this. Don't want to go by myself. Would you want to go with me? I was like, sure, I'll be your ride or die. You know, so went up with there and kind of just fell in love with the genre. And, you know, just kind of escalated from there.
And how much time is that we just fast forwarded through?
So
10 years, 2 years?
So I started... I started doing photography on the side as a side hustle in 2010. And then right about 2 years into it, you know, found boudoir, and then I've been doing it ever since. So, yeah.
How has your work changed from then to now?
It's definitely more, like, with lighting and posing, it's definitely more poignant. It's, you know, I gravitate more towards a darker, moody style. Majority of my stuff is natural light. My studio is natural light studio, but I do work with a lot of artificial light and available light and things of that sort. So I kind of mix it around as much as I can.
So how do you two know each other? Seems like you guys are fast friends.
Oh, Clubhouse. We just kind of met
Clubhouse.
There. And then when I was doing a workshop in Pennsylvania, he came with some other friends, and we hung out, and we've just been friends, and we, you know, talk online and... you know, we went through we had a little relationship for a little while and didn't work out. But I mean, we're still friends, so we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
start there. Let's unpack that. Let's unpack that.
I wanted to be Little Spoon. He wanted to be Little Spoon. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the fork. It just didn't work out.
Have you guys tried the spork? The best yeah, of that's, the that's, best of both worlds.
The spork solves everything.
Only when you get them from Popeyes.
Yeah. I love that chicken from Popeyes.
Yeah.
Best okay. fried chicken you can get from like a chain?
So I love me some Royal Farms chicken. It's local to Maryland. Gas station.
Doesn't
chicken.
Count. If it's local to you, it's gotta be nationwide. Who's got the best fried chicken? You don't count. You don't count.
Dude, I try to keep this thing kind of like mildly on the rails. And
no, I'm sorry. It's
who has the best fried chicken? Why don't we just start a whole like you know another you know do the yeah.
I don't know if that one's my this favorite or least favorite.
Our new segment on what is the best fried chicken?
Fight.
Go.
Okay.
Best fried chicken.
Best fried chicken. Is the chicken you got?
Yeah. Good answer. Sorry, thank that's you. Gonna be the thank last you. Time I touch those. All right, keep back to you.
Back to the chicken.
Back to the chicken.
Yeah. You had banchan?
No,
banchan, the original KFC.
Huh.
Korean fried chicken.
Oh, actually, last night stolen? We had last huh? night we had Korean fried chicken at one of the best restaurants I've ever been to, off the strip, kind of hidden,
kind of in the Jang dark underground
sushi and oyster bar, all you can eat, half off Monday nights.
Nice,
life changing.
The word is out.
Words out.
Yeah, since I've been here, we've been to Korean barbecue twice. All you can eat.
I mean,
it's fantastic.
The best food experience here. All right, so how do you?
This is off to a good start.
How do you use WPPI? What do you do here when you're here?
It's really just to catch up with friends, networking. I think I went to classes the first time, and then every time after that, I just really just met up with people. It was great. The Clubhouse was a really great primer for it, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking to people for, months and getting to know them, and you become fast friends over that because you're spending hours and hours talking to them, right? So it's all, like the way I used to describe it is like, thinking back in college, and you're just sitting around in a dorm room and just chatting, and then you just develop those relationships, develop those meaningful conversations that we, in this generation kind of fail to have, right? Or, if it's not a text message or emoji or what have you, then that's really where, most of our kids are probably kind of communicating, right? So, Clubhouse was a nice refresher, especially right during COVID when you weren't seeing people. So then, when I think the first WPPI came into after COVID, we saw some people and it was like, never met them before in my life, right? Never seen them before, just over Clubhouse. Gave everyone the biggest hug. It just felt like, family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that's just really kind of stood out. And, like when I met Jason face to face for the first time in Pennsylvania, it was like we've known each other for years.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, no, it was
I
great.
I just went serious on that. Sorry.
I feel that, man. Sorry, I can't, no, but I totally agree. It's like it's really cool to be able to come here. And I think that one of the nice things about being around other photographers is, aside from the photography part, that everybody kind of has the same kind of mentality, Like, I mean, obviously not everybody, but, most of the people that I know have, faced similar kind of situations of working in a creative field. And, we don't work in, like, what's typically kind of like normal careers and things. Yeah. And so to be able to go out and like I went to Houston, and the first thing that we did when my friend Jill picked me up was we went to a Goodwill. Mm-hmm. And she was like, let's go start finding some crazy clothes to like play with. And then she was like, oh, this place has like old furniture, and you go into her studio and there's just like all this like junk and stuff that she uses to shoot with. And I was like, that's the same stuff that I do. It's like, but I feel like a total like like a weirdo for doing it, like I have dresses arriving for me, and it's like, the normal person would be like, okay. And I mean, granted, most of them don't fit me, but
What dress size are you in?
XXL tall. And I don't, need a little padding in the butt.
What's the last dress that you wore?
I feel like I want to change this stuff. I feel like we need to move on to something like helpful for the audience out there.
Let's talk about gear. What is in your camera bag?
I have a Sony A7IV. I have my go-to lens is a Sigma 35mm. And then I have a 50 and 85. And then when I travel and I want to, especially for vacation stuff, I have a 24-70. I have two Reflex S Stella Pro lights, and then for the spot modifiers.
That's it? Yeah. So what are the lenses you shouldn't be using for boudoir?
What are the ones
that, you, hey, don't do this for this pose, and this is the lens you need for that pose. Give me, like, the quick tips for boudoir.
Easy for boudoir, it's my 35mm. That's the lens that I, because most photographers start out shooting out of their house or shooting, in a closed environment or, an apartment or a hotel room or what have you, right? So the 35mm is really, really forgiving. It's easy for tight spaces. And, my wife calls it my skinny lens. So that's why, even moving into a larger studio, I still use a 35mm. I love it.
Do you have a favorite aperture? Favorite f-stop?
Depends. Usually I'm at about 3.2.
3.2. Jason, do you have a favorite? 3.2.
F-stop? That's a really good question. No, I don't.
Don't.
I shoot a lot at f8, but if I'm shooting constant light, I'll probably be closer to 2.8 or 3.2 or... Yeah, that's usually where I'm at.
Any 5.1 ever?
Every once in a while, the 5.1 will come in there, and it's like an old friend.
Yeah,
it's like I haven't seen you in a while, but let's see what we can do.
Not the 5.0 with the rag top down, so your hair can blow.
Oh. Damn it,
that was so good. Okay, so let's get into boudoir. Let's get deep All into right. boudoir. What was the thing that really brought you, like, made you want to be a boudoir? Why did that attract you more than the other things that you were working with?
I think it's the impact. It's an instant impact on your clients, right? Being able to, show them how beautiful they are. Show them the back of the camera, right? This is you. This is 100% you. No Photoshop, no edits, nothing. Mm-hmm. And being able to, it's that instant confidence boost. And, just seeing that from your clients right then and there, it's amazing. It's one of the best feelings in the world, is being able to, and a lot of it was also, I have two girls, right? So being able to teach them, to love the skin that they're in, to be able to be comfortable, to be able to accept themselves as who they are, mm-hmm. And being able to kind of instill that in my work and instill that in the foundation of, how I'm raising them, and then carrying that throughout everything that I do. So That's kind of the core and the foundation mm-hmm. of why, and then kind of growing that more and more. The more clients that I run into that, we run through this process, is just that it's really fulfilling. So it's as much as it's amazing for them, it's fulfilling for me, because it's putting a lot of purpose of what I do. Right? We all as artists can create amazing images. But when you create those images to elicit emotion, right, and elicit good emotion, that's really where, I think, because for the first 20 years of my life, I had a corporate job. Mm-hmm. I was doing IT strategy and business strategy and helping companies make money, right? So it's like that, from a soul perspective, wasn't as fulfilling, mm-hmm. right? I was good at what I did, but, mm-hmm. What impact did I really have?
You weren't able to use any sort of creativeness and create something like that too. Yeah. Do you, what's the process like when somebody gets in touch with you? Let us see how it begins and how you work with somebody.
Mm-hmm. So usually, whether they're reaching out through email, phone, text, through my website, what have you, the first thing I do is reach out to them and schedule a call, right? At the end of the day, there are a great number of boudoir photographers, right? They're coming out to me for some reason or another, but I also want to make sure that they're coming to me for the right reasons. So a lot of it is asking what their why is. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? And, you'll always get the, I'm doing this for, my fiance, we have an anniversary coming up, or I'm doing this for my husband, or this and that. And then, I agree with that to a certain extent, but I tell them that, the products that come out of it, it's for them. Mm-hmm. And so it is for you as well. But that day, that experience, that whole you know, process of having that session is for them.
Right.
You know, and, you know, sometimes it's hard for them to accept that. So, you know, we kind of talk to that and really kind of going through and vetting the clients as to why. And then I talk to them about my process and how we, you know, what the day is like going about through, you know, coming into the studio, getting pampered, going through each of the outfits, and then giving them that choice of how they run the pace of the day, right? So I can go anywhere from, you know, especially in the wintertime, sweaters and tall socks that all the way through to a fully nude or implied nude, right?
Right.
And that option is always open. It's really the pace that they set and up to their comfort level.
Right.
And then we kind of go from there.
So when you're working with someone who is maybe, you know, not really comfortable with their body, someone who is maybe, you know, a larger size or whatever, like how do you, when you're posing somebody, you know, how do you work with them so that they look nice in pictures, you know, and they look good to themselves?
And so I would say, like, it's really what they're, what they love about themselves and what they're self-conscious about, right? So part of that is through the consultation, we talk about that. Because you can have someone who is, you know, in varying sizes, right? Because you can have someone who's, like, super thin as well and still self-conscious about certain things, mm-hmm. right? So it's being able to understand what they really, really love and what they want to emphasize in pictures, and then also understanding what they want to diminish in pictures, right? So, and then by understanding that, then I figure out the pose flow for them. And then with combination of posing, lighting, and wardrobe, then we use that to really emphasize certain things and hide other things.
Right. So you create like a, do you like write down what you're like, what poses you're going to do, or do you just kind of internalize that and say?
I internalize it. A lot of it is more so what I write down is what they love about themselves and what they're self-conscious about.
Right.
And then from there, I build that into, you know, throughout the process.
Right.
And then, you know, hopefully along the way, we show that these are things that they can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we change posing up a little bit and I'll tweak posing along the way. Right. So, you know, depending on what, you know, what they really are self-conscious about or what they really love, then, you know, we tweak a little bit here, tweak a little bit there. And then they start seeing the things that, you know, they may think that they're self-conscious about, but then it's like, wait, well, that's not bad.
Right.
I really like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's that confidence build.
Right.
It's that, oh yeah. And then, you know, it's.
Now, do you primarily, well, see, that's the thing that I struggle with is the posing side of things. So.
Just sit on your leg.
Yeah, I know. That's my one pose is sit on your leg. It works for me.
Yeah.
But do you have, do you have like certain poses that you like that? That's the problem that I run into, you know, and I don't really pose people that much in my, you know, that's just not the aesthetic that I have, even though I really like it, you know, sometimes. Now how do you decide what's going to be like, here's going to be our first pose and then this is going to be our second. And are you just kind of like slowly, gradually changing into things, you know, you're going to, let's do one thing on your stomach and then one thing on your back. How do you decide what the, you're gonna do?
So for me, when they get out of hair and makeup, right, and my makeup artist is amazing, you're getting bomb ass lashes, right? So that's something that's really nice to kind of focus on, right? Looking down the shoulder line, chin up just a little bit so you see all of the definition between the chin, the shoulders,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then their lashes.
So you start close.
Yep, I start somewhat close, right? Mm-hmm. And then you know, you're looking down the shoulder line, their eyes are closed. So you really focus on the lashes, and you get this really nice, soft, you know, image, right?
Right.
And then usually that's my initial out of the gate go to shot, right? And then I'll shoot that, and then I'll say, okay, now eyes on me. So then she'll look up,
mm-hmm.
right? So then I show them those two pictures, right? Right out of the gates, that's your first shot,
right?
They're like, holy shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then with each shot that you show them, the confidence gets more and more. So right. then you kind of just keep going through until they're just like, all right, fuck this, let's go. I'm done.
What do you do if you, like, especially when you were first starting, what would you do? Like, I can't imagine you just started, like, day one and posing people and kicking ass and everything.
And even sometimes, like, you know, depending on who it is, you know, sometimes poses that I think are my go-to poses, you know, don't necessarily work, right?
Right.
And sometimes you find that out through even the reveal where I love the down the shoulder line, mm-hmm. but sometimes people, like, are self-conscious about their nose. And then they don't necessarily disclose that. They're more worried about, you know, body parts that they tell me, but versus, oh, well, I don't like my nose this way, right?
Right.
But I'm like, oh, this is a beautiful picture. It's like, nah, I don't like that one. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
But like when I first started, you know, I think a lot of it is like what I love about the boudoir community, it's open, right? When I started in weddings and family, you know, this was eons ago, right? So it's like, oh, well, how do I price this? Or how do I do that? And everyone was very close to the vest, right? When I started in the boudoir community, everyone was like, oh, fairly open. It's like, oh, this is how we price. This is how we do this. This is how we do that, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is strategically the right perspective, right? Mm-hmm. It's community over competition. It is, you know, how do you set the market, right? If you look at the wedding industry, right, for photography, you know, you have people that are coming in at super low, and then you have people that are super high, and then how do you gauge which one, right? Mm-hmm. So as someone that's more of a high-end wedding photographer, you know, they're always getting clients, well, I can, you know, this wedding photographer quoted me this, and it's much lower, right? Whereas within boudoir photography, you kind of have a standard price, right? And then you kind of have a standard price for your collections as well. Mm-hmm. So people are expecting to spend a certain amount for this luxury experience. And then at that point, you're setting the market. Right. So now you get this really good situation of people are coming to you because they love your work and they've connected with you versus coming to you because you're the cheapest person in town.
Right.
So, but then, you know, I don't know if that answered your question, but then.
No, but I always like, I always compare it to, you know, when you go in and you're buying wine, mm-hmm. you know, and most people really don't know the difference between one. I mean, and really, it is all subjective, you know. There's certain people who I would consider like master photographers who are just amazing, and then other ones who are kind of like, oh, well, they kind of got it, but I don't really feel like, you know, whatever. But the majority of, like, you know, people that aren't into photography aren't going to really know the difference. So the way that they'll price things, and I remember one time I was talking to somebody about this wedding photographer, and they were like, do you know this guy? I'm not going to say his name, but, you know, he's like a really, like, well-known photographer. He does stuff in Cancun and all over Mexico and everything. And they were like, do you know that he charges, like, you know, $20,000 for a wedding or something like that? It's like, that was the thing that stood out for them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when people are pricing low, it's like they're actually doing themselves a real disservice because right. It's like that cheap bottle of wine. It's like, do I want the Boone's Farm or do yep. I want the, you know...
It's Boone's Farm every time, you know? That's a bad example. Boone's Farm is its own thing.
Strawberry Fields.
Okay.
Yeah. Forever.
Bad example, sorry. Forgot I had.
Don't you dare, Mr.
How dare you talk about Boone's Farm
through the mud.
Say that in this house. Boone's Farm got me through college.
What are you saying? Any questions? Cold 45's not the best beer ever.
not Mad Dog 2020.
I like Miller High Life. That's my
shout out to 2020. Yeah. The best 10 years of my life.
To my homies in the you know.
So how was the pandemic for you? What a
How's
transition.
How's your pandemic going? Yeah,
How's your pandemic? The pandemic.
So that's really where I saw the boudoir community come together. I shot 26 boudoir photographers virtually during the pandemic. You know, like, we shut down, right? We weren't shooting. And it wasn't necessarily because, you know, we had to keep a safe distance because we're always, you know, fairly far away. We're not really that close with our clients. But my makeup artist is right up in your face. So being that close, I couldn't have a makeup artist. I couldn't have someone to do hair. So, mm-hmm. I shut down for several months. And that itch to be creative, itch to learn new things, and you know that was, you know, killing me for a while. And you know, we were in this boudoir community group, and you know, at first I was like poo-pooing the whole virtual, like I was like, oh, this is hooey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
hooey. Come on, man.
Yeah,
Keep it on the table.
All right. You know, it's a kid's show. You know, so, you know, we started saying, oh, well, let me just try this out, right? And we start out with, like, you know, and it slowly evolved, right? So it started out with, like, oh, FaceTime calls and just doing screenshots, and then, you know, now Zoom calls, and then, you know, just kind of figuring it out, and then, you know, figuring out how do you remotely control a camera, right? And it was amazing because then you start thinking about light differently, right? So if you're doing a FaceTime call, like, the iPhone automatically corrects for low light.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, crap, right? How do you fix that, right? So then you had to, you know, figure out how to treat light differently, right? And then the big thing is I'm a visual poser, right? So we play the mirror game, right? So I'm posing, you're posing, you know, like, you know, both see me pose. So
how is it? It is the majesty. It is beautiful.
Wrong answers only. How
he
is
also
posing?
Wears the lingerie, which people don't know.
Yeah.
Only the wings.
Continue. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't know what I was saying. No, but
shooting over Zoom.
Yeah, so you had to learn how to give
people
direction.
People are not going
to
understand, like, and maybe, like, I even forget sometimes that there was, like, a pandemic. You know,
must be nice.
You don't ever. Like, no. I'm always just
reminded,
like,
of it.
I have to be reminded of it
frequently.
I'm like, yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. I don't necessarily think about it a lot, but. Holy shit. Yeah. I mean, we went through a lot, shut down, a lot of changes. It was, at least for me, it was probably the best time and the worst time at the same time. Cause a lot of really good stuff happened, but it was such polar opposites of the worst shit that's ever happened to me and the best shit that's ever happened to me. So, like,
right.
I went through most of my life, like, you know, kind of in the middle, you know, if we're looking at the you know, what's that graph that we learn in statistics?
Oh, the histogram,
It's the one where there's
standard deviation.
What's the graph called? What's the bell? It's not the bell curve.
I don't know what we're talking about.
The hump.
Anyway, you get it.
Listener, you know.
Someone
just Google
there
that while you're
it.
Out there.
You know, usually, like, the majority, like, right there in the middle. But for things to be like bam, 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 and, like, also the perceived everything online, it was like, fuck. That's where I really started to not go on any social media. Like, even Clubhouse was active at first, but then I was like, I just need to unplug from all of the craziness, because oftentimes on Clubhouse it would go back to non-photography related things and how bad everything is.
Right.
But anyway, long story short, yeah, no, I'd never forget.
I'll never forget. All right. Well, talk to me about your lighting, because I know you work with Stella Pro.
Yep.
Shout out.
StellaPro.com.
Whoop, whoop. So the majority of, like, you know, even in my workshop that I was doing at the Venetian, I was doing a little bit of boudoir lighting myself. And the thing that I was trying to do primarily was to shoot so that the flash was kind of wrapping around the person instead of, you know, and most of it was kind of like short lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you approach lighting when you're working with people?
I try to treat it like window light. Right.
Right.
So I like I said, I'm very dark and moody in the sense where the highlights really accentuate the curves. The shadows hide the things that, you know, you're self-conscious about. Right. So that's my lighting play. Right. So part of it is sometimes you don't really need to wrap light around. Just really hit the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And sometimes I'll set up lighting in one direction, and then I'll walk around and take the same shot or the same pose, but in different directions. And that'll give me, you know, broad light, short light. So it'll give me that ability to kind of capture both.
Mm.
And, you know, then I leave it up to the client to which one they like, you know. So being able to be flexible in that, right? So, and I think that's where sometimes photographers get really hung up, right, between the art versus the business, right? And, like, in the beginning when I first started, people say, oh, well, I wanted to edit this way, or I wanted, and they just didn't like it, and then they would get really sad about it, right? Versus, you know, at the end of the day, your clients are the people that are driving you to make that money, right? They're the ones that are making that decision of what they're buying, right? And if you know what they like, you can cater to that and then do other sessions that may or may not be paid sessions to really feed your creative. Mm-hmm. And then you use those to build up on saying, now when you're with a client, it's like, oh, let's try this, right?
Right.
So, like, you know, for me, I'll do a decent amount of, you know, TFP, trade for print, or collaborations with people throughout the year, just because it's fun for me to be that creative, right? You know, when, you know, I know a lot of boudoir photographers that are very much, you know, this is my post flow, I'm going to do it, and I know this sells, mm-hmm. right? Whereas I'm a little bit more fluid because I know what my key poses are, and then I'll fill in between.
Right.
You know, so, you know, from that standpoint, like, it keeps that creativity for me versus just, you know, another day at the office.
Right. Yeah. So what are the most important, just a few tips for those people wanting to get more into boudoir? Like, what are some do's and don'ts of posing somebody for, like, you know, like, I know you will, what's the thing? Put the tip the toes or whatever.
Oh, point your toes.
Point your toes, yep. And kind of push your hip out. And what are the, like, the kind
of Jason, let's do a segment. I'm going to go to you. I'm going to hit the thing and just the tip. We're going to introduce just the tip and then you give the tip. Ready? Want to try it?
What am I going to say? Just the tip?
In this segment, and then, you know, something about just the tip. Okay.
In this segment, we're talking about just the tip. Is that what you meant?
I don't know. But
you're the tips, folks.
You're the tips.
Get ready.
Just the tips.
They're coming at you fast, and you better get out your notebooks.
I thought you were just going to say, in this segment, Kiati's just going to just give you just the tip.
Kiati's giving you the tip.
All right. That's what it is. Here we go.
All right. And now, Kiati will give you the tip.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. Okay, I screwed it up. Okay, forget it. Let's move on. I'm not doing it again. Now, Kiati is giving you just the tip.
Just the tip.
So,
perfect. That was great.
Okay, yeah. So can we move on?
Do you want the tip?
Yeah, give us the tip. Well, I've had the tip, but, you know.
It's never just the tip.
That's the tip.
Good to know. That's important life advice, folks. It's never just the tip. All right.
Keep going.
So with posing, like, I love triangles. I love peaks and valleys. I love even with, like, posing people in groups, right? So it's different elevations, right? So how do you kind of create that versus, you know, a flat, straight piece, right? So the body is beautiful, right? Curves are beautiful, right? So how do we accentuate the curves? How do we, highlight? Exactly.
Showing my gut?
Yes.
Yes, beautiful.
It's a curve.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to learn to accept myself, Kiati, in my
So it's my tummy. It's things like that I think are great, right? So being able to just, you know, situate the body so that way it is accentuating the curves, right? So what clients really appreciate is I'm giving them posing tips for that they can even use when they're just with a group of people, right? Right. Like standing. So I'll, like, for like a standing pose, right? I'll start off with ankles together, pop a knee, and bring the knee over like you have to pee.
Interesting.
The reason why I say that is because it's funny, and people usually like, oh, yeah, I get what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Well, maybe it's not. You laugh when I told you the first time.
No, I'm kidding. Go for it. No, keep going.
That's okay.
Go. Tips. Fine. Let's go. Speed round. You got it.
Sorry. That's why it's never just a tip.
Okay, you were good. I interrupted you. Go for it.
Fine.
That was it.
Yeah, no, you get more, but, you know, you have to pay for it. Here's my memo.
Damn it. Okay. So,
first one's free.
when you finish your session, what is that process like? Like, what do you do with them? Like, do they look at all the pictures, or do you, like, show them pictures from your do you do something like right then after your thing?
They usually come back about a week or two later. So it gives them, like, some people will do same day IPS viewing sessions. I do, you know, usually it's scheduled out about a week or two. gives me time to kind of.
Do you do like a slideshow, or do you actually do prints that are?
I do
books or things.
Well, so I have my samples there in the studio, so they can see what an album looks like, what wall art looks like, the size, and things of that sort. But what I'll do is I'll do like a mini teaser slideshow, and then after that, then we kind of go through, and it's usually in Lightroom, so we'll go through a curated set, and then. It's really simple of like, you know, just use your gut reaction. Don't overthink it. Give me, you know, yes, maybe no.
Right.
And then I flag them. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of go through a couple different rounds based off of, you know, what their budget is and how much they want to spend or, you know, what they like. And then, you know, usually a session, I'll maybe shoot about 450 frames. I'll pare that down to about maybe 150 that mm-hmm. I'll show them. And then from there, they select.
And then they can say, we want this in a book or I want mm-hmm. this in a... Okay.
Yep. Usually I try to put it into albums. Some clients are a little bit more private, so they just, you know, they have kids running around, things of that sort. They don't want just an album just out there. So we kind of come up with creative ideas.
So do you play Nickelback when you look through the slideshow? Is that... Have you tried that yet?
No. I think I need you to sing a few bars.
Photograph, if you guys fans.
Oh, of there it is. Yeah. I was wondering where.
Yeah, I was wondering where we're going.
I don't know that. It. Yeah. Fortunately, I just don't know it that well.
You don't know it?
Yeah. No. If it was Creed,
get out of here.
Oh. Well. I know it in all the languages.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Creed, yeah.
So if you could photograph anyone, dead or alive, boudoir, man or woman, who would it be?
Here we go.
Oh, God.
This is going to be good.
I hate questions like this.
Dead or alive? Like
dead or
alive. In their state?
Or not
in the state
yet.
They're in right now or like when they're...
No, you pick their age. You pick their age. Okay. Who would it be?
Good question.
That's good. One.
The burning question.
Yeah. That one, I don't have a person. It's like asking me what my favorite picture is. Like, this is why, like,
what's your favorite picture?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like asking your favorite child.
Who are your favorite photographers besides me?
Oh, it's definitely Jason Buff.
Good answer. Yeah. Okay, I like that.
There's but no
I said
other.
Besides me. That yeah, they really doesn't.
Okay. No, there's it's Jason Buff.
That's good.
Did you know his middle name is De La?
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah.
I did not know
Jason
that.
Jason De La Buff.
That was supposed to be between us, but anyway.
De La.
No, my middle name's not De La. My middle name's so like much
did,
worse than
like
De La.
Did your mom like De La Soul?
Which, so which is German for of the buff.
Of the buff.
Yeah. It's better than put it in the buff.
Mm.
It's put it in the buff. put it in the buff.
Oh, see, I like where this is going. Going. I love where this is going.
Okay, so WPPI, I want to get the inside the track because you go to put all these the different things.
Put it in the buff.
So you go buff. To this, you go to imaging, you go to like... You know, you're a regular. You know, you walk in and it's like everybody yells your name. They're like, "Hey, Kiati's here."
Not
so,
really.
Well, that's what I like to think. Don't ruin my image. So, what do you find is the difference between the different? Like, for example, the difference between this and imaging. Like, why? What? And for you, what's the purpose of going to each of these?
Things? I think part of it is this past year I was fortunate to land a few sponsors, and so part of it is going for them, right? Mm. I love smaller companies, and most of the people that sponsor me are smaller companies. You know, I still do quite a bit of consulting for small startups. So my wife and I started her optometry practice, and then I kind of run that on the side as well. Mm. And then we do consulting for startup practices. So like I have a very deep love for small startups, small business companies. So you know, the companies that chose to sponsor me or, like, you know, decided that they wanted me to represent them, I'm truly honored for that. So it's like, how do I give back to them as much as they give to me, mm-hmm. right? So so I'm there as their representative. I am there. And then I go because, again, it's the few times a year that I can collectively easily see all my friends that I don't normally see because they live far away versus... Like, if you were to say, hey, let's meet up somewhere, right? And we've talked about this before. It's like, mm-hmm. sometimes, like, oh, well, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that, right? But if you said, okay, let's go meet at this conference, right then and there is a business expense, right? It's right. an easy justification to kind of leave and say, okay, I'm going to spend a week here, right? So then that's, honestly, that's the impetus of why I really go, right? And then I've been fortunate enough to be asked to teach at some of these conferences. So then, you know, being able to interact with the people, interact with, you know, sharing that knowledge, learning from them as much as I'm teaching them, mm-hmm. Teaching the other people is fantastic, right? It's, again, going back to community, right? You know, it's the age old
family.
It's family. Yeah. PH.
Family matters.
Yeah.
But what would you say is like the difference between the different ones? Like for those people who like have never been to any of the conventions, mm-hmm. like why would you go to imaging versus why would you go to WPPI versus whatever?
So I'll say, I think, and I look at this from both a vendor perspective as well as a participant. Well, what are you? You're in Mexico, so.
Okay, anyway, moving on.
You know, I think each one serves their purposes, right? So, like, WPPI and imaging are two of the largest ones, right? I think being able to see and interact with the vendors, interact with, you know, seeing all the new gear, all the new toys, being able to interact with that, you know, more likelihood that people will go to that because they're the big ones, right? Mm-hmm. So then that gives me the good opportunity to see more of my friends in one place, right? So that's why imaging and WPPI, as far as one versus the other, I don't really have a preference. Okay. I've been to
WPPI. Do they have the same kind of vibe to them?
They're starting to get a little bit more similar. Like, you know, WPPI was very focused on weddings, mm-hmm. you know, and portraits. And then imaging, I think, initially started with maternity and family. And then as they're evolving, I think they're bringing more genres, mm-hmm. right? So this year I spoke at the boudoir deep dive at imaging. It was the mm-hmm. first time they brought boudoir into imaging. And, you know, it's still a pre-con, so, you know, hopefully next year they'll bring it part of the main stage. But, like, it was packed, mm-hmm. you know, it was well attended. And then even the boudoir shoot bay that we did during the conference was packed. Right. So it shows that the genre is there, the genre is well-received. And I think, you know, in the past, you know, imaging was a little more conservative. I think... WPPI, you know, it was also hard to kind of get boudoir in there, but I think they took their first step last year. Mm-hmm. And then now, you know, again, similar situation, you know, the pre-con sessions were all sold out to the mm-hmm. point where they had to actually add more room and then add more tickets and then sell out again. Right. Mm-hmm. So it just, you know, the public is speaking, saying that boudoir is accepted and it is not this dirty little secret. Mm-hmm. You know,
did you feel that way for like when you were starting, or is there a stigma with it at all?
I think it's so for me, because I shoot both boudoir and dance and portrait. And when I started, I was doing a bunch of different genres that I was just trying to figure out, right, which one I really loved.
Right.
For a while, I have, and to this day, I still have my dance Instagram separate from my boudoir Instagram. And a lot of that is more so because my kids and their friends follow my dance Instagram, mm-hmm. right? So I don't necessarily want to push all of the boudoir images and put it right in their face, right? So there's that separation of church and state, right? But also, so it's respectful in a sense, right? Now you get to a position where my dance moms, you know, find out that I do shoot boudoir, but that's my target audience. Right. So, you know, they're like, oh, well, what's that Instagram? Can I check that out? You know, and between that and a few others within the community and, you know, where I live and things, that's why they've booked me because mm-hmm. of that. Right. Because they see it's tasteful. It's well done. It's a luxury experience. It's all the things that it's not porn.
Right.
Right. And even negotiating my lease for my studio, those are things that we had to educate people of what it is and what it's not.
Right. Do you, like, when you're doing dance photography now, mm-hmm. like, what kind of, like, what's my question, Gary?
I don't know.
That I want to ask. How do you shoot dance photography? Let's start from the beginning.
Very carefully.
We're going to start all over.
On this new segment of Just the Tip.
Give me my
Did
intro.
We figure out if the rhythm was going to get us?
The rhythm is.
It is. It's going to get us. God damn it.
Okay. You come and shake your body and do the conga.
I'm just trying to.
I think we need to get some food.
Serious conversation.
Yeah.
Food. I think we need to get some food on us.
So, okay.
Beef tips.
God damn it.
You've ruined beef tips forever. Not that I was like, you know, in my top 10. Anyway, okay. So, dance photography. Are you shooting at a higher, you know, what's your 1/1 shutter speed? How are you shooting that?
Do you have
to use a lot of like flash and.
Definitely faster shutter speed because it's movement, right? You're freezing movement.
Right.
Another reason why I like the Stella Pros, right? Stella Pros are phenomenal. The Reflex S's, there is no recycle time, right? So full power, no recycle time.
You're just like bam, 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 bam.
Bam, 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 bam.
Right.
I love you
sound like a cat purring.
Oh, nice. Now you do it.
Wow.
Now Jason, you do it.
A little ASMR here.
Oh, good.
Meow.
Yeah. I like this. I like where this is going. Never been to this area.
No, that's from my friend Evelyn.
This is the underbelly of the podcast.
I'm sure she'll listen to this. Well, so we've made cat noises.
Yeah, I think this is about the time we wrap it up. Yadi, thank you so much for stopping by. It was great to meet you. And hopefully we can hang out more this week before.
Yeah, likewise. It's over. Been a pleasure.
Awesome. Jason, any last words of wisdom?
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. How many times a day?
You know.
How often do you floss?
Not as much as I should, but yeah, you know, you got to take care of your gums.
You know, it's one step at a time.
Yep, that's true, folks. Have a good evening.
Pro EDU is now unlimited. Get access to every single tutorial. Sign up at proedu.com today. I don't know about you, I'll take comfort in that. This podcast is officially over. See you next time. Never stop.